Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. I'm Mike Pratz and I'm joined by Craig Bolger and Jacob Avila. The article today is titled Utility of Common Bile Duct Measurement in Emergency Department Point-of-Care Ultrasound, a Prospective Study. This is published in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine in 2017. Cray, why is this even an issue?
Well, as we know, ultrasound, whether it be point-of-care or comprehensive, is the modality of choice for diagnosing hepatobiliary pathology, specifically gallstones and cholecystitis. And I think the question we're constantly asking in the land of POCUS is, what should our protocol include? We obviously don't want to go all the way to the line of a comprehensive exam, but we want to be thorough. And we want to be able to make the diagnosis and answer the questions we have. And so this is, do we need to measure the uncommon bile duct? How important is that to the acute pathology that we care about? And are we missing something if we don't do it? Because as most of us who try to find the common bile duct know, it's not the easiest feat.
It's not the easiest, especially when it's normal.
Yes. So the question from this study was, is there utility in finding it and measuring it in people with normal laboratory values, i.e. no signs of obstructive pathology, a normal gallbladder on bedside ultrasound, no paracholecystic fluid, no sonographic Murphy sign, and that's it.
So the way that they went about this study, this was done at a single center, and they included anybody that was getting evaluated for potential biliary pathology in the emergency department, and they needed to have both their labs and a right upper quadrant ultrasound. So the gold standard they were comparing this to was the diagnosis, either when they were discharged from the emergency department or when they were discharged from the hospital after they were admitted. And they actually did 2-week follow-up on all these patients to make sure they didn't have further visits with other diagnoses. And there was one of three categories that the diagnosis could be in. Either non-biliary, secondly, they could be uncomplicated cholelithiasis, so they just found stones, but nothing more than that. Or thirdly, complicated biliary pathology, and this included anything worse than just stones. So acute cholecystitis, cholecystolithiasis, cholangitis, pancreatitis. So what they wanted to find was, like Cray said, if they had normal labs and a right upper quadrant that did not show anything worse than stones, did they miss anything? And they still tried to get all of the common bile duct measurements in these patients, but what they were looking for was, does it matter? Is there anything that you gain in addition to the other stuff by measuring that common bile duct? So these were all exams that were done by emergency physicians who had been trained in ultrasound. 26 different doctors did these, and they were residents, fellows, attendings, did not have any specific training to do this study. And the things that they were looking for were those usual findings that you think about when you're looking for cholecystitis: paracholecystic fluid, sonographic Murphy sign, measurement of the anterior gallbladder wall, looking for thickness greater than 3 millimeters, and the dilation greater than 6 millimeters, or if they're older than 60, then adding an additional millimeter per decade of life. Just to clarify, I am talking about the common bile duct diameter there. So what happened? Does it matter, Jacob?
Should we go on the quest for the lost ark?
So for the results, it looks like it doesn't really matter. If you have a normal ultrasound of the gallbladder and you have normal labs, measuring the common bile duct, you're not going to actually miss any common bile duct dilation on your ultrasound, according to this group.
But you will miss some complicated biliary disease diagnoses. What they found was that two patients out of 158 had normal labs, normal POCUS, and by that we mean no wall thickening paracholecystic fluid or sonographic Murphy sign, and they ended up having cholecystolithiasis, which was one of their complicated biliary diagnoses.
But and, Mike, how'd they make that diagnosis?
Well, they probably ended up getting an ERCP. neither of them had common bile duct dilation.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, is that if you had measured the common bile duct on those patients, you still wouldn't have seen common bile duct dilation. So it still wasn't helpful in those patients. And those two patients that had isolated cholelithiasis, measuring the common bile duct diameter would not have been helpful because it would have been within the normal limits set by this study's guidelines.
Yeah, and one of those patients did have gallstones, so I guess there's some indication that something was going on in the biliary system. But the other one didn't even have that, so it would have been almost impossible to pick it up on a point-of-care ultrasound.
Yeah, agreed. But I think that's one of those things that we got to remember, that even if our ultrasound is good, it's not 100%. And if the clinical symptoms match a certain pathology, you still have to kind of put everything together, not just use this ultrasound in isolation. So I imagine what happened with these patients is, I mean, I don't know, but I imagine, is that they had really good symptoms. They had pain. They had a good story. And even in the setting of a normal ultrasound, more tests were done, such as maybe an ERCP, which would have picked it up.
They also looked at the results the other way, where they took the patients that had common bile duct dilation and they looked back to see, did they have lab abnormalities or findings on their point of care ultrasound? There was also two patients with common bile duct dilation that had no other abnormalities besides gallstones. And one of those had just gallstones, and radiology performed the ultrasound, which then showed uncomplicated cholecystitis. And one of them was also said to have some sort of complicated biliary pathology. So there's also a small amount of patients with the dilation that do not show other signs. They ended up calculating the test characteristics for common bile duct in diagnosing complicated biliary pathology. And basically, it's not good. So sensitivity was in the 20s, specificity 90%. But I don't think anybody was using common bile duct dilation in isolation to diagnose these things. It's just kind of trying to put the nail in the coffin, saying that this isn't that useful of a test that's going to change your management. So sure, there were some limitations here. I mean, there wasn't any correlation with the POCUS findings to make sure that people were interpreting it correctly or accurately. The average BMI of these patients was 28, which may or may not be similar to your patient population. And they didn't see any cases of cholangitis or malignancy, so there's some other rarer diagnoses that may present with just common bile duct dilation. We're not really sure how that might affect these results. What I would have really liked to see was, instead of knowing how bad common bile duct dilation is, I would have liked to know how good their POCUS plus labs evaluation was for diagnosing complicated biliary stuff. I wanted to know how sensitive and specific it was. If they did this POCUS exam and they had normal labs and they had a normal POCUS, how well does that diagnose? Because you'd think that has a pretty good sensitivity based on these results, but they didn't include enough data that we could actually calculate that out. So guys, what I'm struggling with is, do we teach our trainees to still find the common bile duct?
I say yes.
I think they need to know how to find it, but I don't think it becomes part of your routine protocol necessarily. That's just my two cents. I think you need to know how to use it, just like you need to know how to use some advanced cardiac measurements and calculating crown rump lengths and femur lengths, because it's that next step to being a good doctor, is a skill you're going to use every day. No, it's like a perimortem C-section. Should you have it in your back pocket if you want it? Yes, but are you ever going to use it? Maybe not.
Right.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't want trainees to take a look at this paper and say, well, I don't have to ever worry about measuring the common bile duct, because this shows there are rare cases where it can be helpful. And if you are doing a biliary ultrasound right upper quadrant and you see this, you can't just ignore it. You can't say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It does have some specificity still. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's an important part of doing a POCUS exam of the right upper quadrant, and it shouldn't be entirely neglected, although now we know that it is going to be rarely helpful. So let me summarize. This was a prospective study in the emergency department of patients who were being evaluated for biliary pathology. They had 158 patients, and their primary outcome, which was how many patients do you miss with normal labs and a normal point of care ultrasound that have complicated biliary disease And the answer is you miss about 1% of cases. So common bowel duct dilation rarely adds to the diagnostic workup. So my take-home points were, although this barely ever adds to your workup, we should probably still be doing it. Another point that they found was that gallbladder wall thickening was the most common finding in the complicated biliary pathology. So make sure that you're still doing the exam. You can't rule it out with just gallstones because less than 50% of these complicated pathologies had gallstones in the study. All right. Well, thanks to the authors for doing this, and thank you for listening. Give us some feedback on iTunes or by mailing us through our website, which is ultrasoundgel.org. Check us out on Facebook or Google+, and we'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.
What does that mean? I mean, I like that, but what does it mean?